pedestrian use zone to sitting for an assembly? Do you do that? Is there significant enough community interest at the point that 20 people assemble that you're willing to let people both assemble and sit in the use zone? Should that be 10? Should that be 1? Where should it be? We picked 3 in past years and said once an assembly gets to that size, well, below that size, there's certainly plenty of, in this proposed code, plenty of room in the non-pedestrian use part of the sidewalk for a couple of people to sit as part of the assembly if they please. It's, you know, I think a quite low threshold. At the point 3 people have an assembly, we've made a community decision, if this passes, that they can then start use the pedestrian use zone for sitting also. So it was a question of at which point does the assembly get big enough or significant enough that the community is willing to give up the pedestrian use zone for sitting, and it's as close to zero as pretty close to zero when you look at the range of assembly sizes we see. Am I making sense here? Barely, if all.
It sounds like if you've got 3 or more people, they can sit in the use zone.
That's what we decided. That's a significant enough assembly that we're not going to require them if they want to sit to do it out of the use zone. They can use the pedestrian use zone to sit, actually. We're giving them the pedestrian use zone, allowing a blockage of the pedestrian use zone once they're of a size of 3 or more.
I don't understand how that then meets the purpose of what we're trying to do.
Well, we wanted to be very liberal. Council wanted to be very liberal with speech events and to quite freely give up the pedestrian use zone for true expressive events, but also didn't want to, in the words we used last time around, get gamed by one or two people who would claim that.
So explain to me how we get around the claims?
Again,
how can we tell if it's a free speech at assembly?
You know, the police, when we talked about this and during the oversight discussions, said that they were going to liberally construe that, but they wanted at least, and the council wanted at least a certain gravity to the group of 3 people who were going to make the concerted claim and engage in concerted behavior. So again, if you're going to make an exception to sitting in the zone, do you want to do it for one person who claims an expressive event, 2, 3, 4? At which point does the size of the group and the event size cause you to want to give up the pedestrian use zone for sitting, only for sitting, not for assembly?
Right. But you know, because I've been looking, or since this came out a month or so ago, I've been watching behaviors downtown, and many people do sit in the zone that will be allowed for them to sit in terms of with
yes.
the signs, whatever. Just there are some pretty sheltered spaces between the planters and the benches and whatever where it's pretty safe and comfortable to sit. So I'm not sure that we need that exception.
That made sense when you're prohibited from sitting or lying on the whole sidewalk.
But now we've got plenty of space where you are allowed to sit, so why would we not just say we want the assembling to be done there?
If you could work on that, that'd be great. Commissioner Fisher?
Well, I think we better talk about this for a second,
okay.
Because therein lies the balance that has caught this ordinance up time and again, and why I have voted against every iteration of this ordinance until possibly now. You've got to be very careful in this state, more than any other state, in terms of our free speech provision in our Constitution, and thus the balance that we've tried to achieve and failed every time in court up till now. So I think you need to have more conversations with Dave about the implications of limiting free speech events as opposed to sitting in line in pedestrian zones, because free speech events, as I understand, you're distinguishing as different from simply sitting or lying, and that there would be some characteristics that make a free speech event, a gathering of people, distinct from simply using the pedestrian zone for sitting or lying. And if we somehow confuse the two, then we're going to potentially constitutionally get ourselves in trouble.
It's actually the converse.
That's usually the case with me.
People engaged in an expressive event end up being allowed to do things that people not engaged in an expressive event, do things that other people can't do, and that is sit in the pedestrian use zone.
Right.
What you're saying is that you're going to make exception for speech activities, and once they get above a certain
But we're able to regulate, as you said, time, place, and manner, even for expressive speech events.
I think that, yes, you could certainly go well beyond three, and you might
so what I'm
well
asking,
say that well, you
here's,
can't.
Here's yeah. the part I'm trying to get clear. Are you saying that for free speech offense, we can regulate whether or not they occur in a pedestrian zone?
No, not the assembly.
That was the point I was making.
No, to some extent you could, yes. You have the authority.
That you could say you can't have it there? You have to be in these other areas where people sit and lie?
It's going to depend on the circumstances. But the city hasn't desired to go there, and this doesn't desire to go anywhere near regulating whether the assembly can occur in the pedestrian use zone.
But if we're saying, point to you was, yeah. Let's make sure we're not requiring a permit of people mm-hmm. to be in pedestrian zones. Let's make sure we don't do that. And then in the follow-up soliloquy with Commissioner Fritz, it sounded like you said we made a decision to allow three or more people to be in the pedestrian zones as long as they're free speech events and not simply sitting or lying. And then what I thought I heard said by somebody on the council was, well, we can just eliminate that from the list of options, that is free speech events of three or more in the pedestrian zone. And that's when I said, wait a second, if you do that, if you actually say to three or more people, you can't have this free speech event, say they're protesting the use of animals at a fast food restaurant in the products, and you say, no, you're violating the ordinance we passed to keep the pedestrian area clear. Are you saying we could say to three people with signs, don't eat the meat in this restaurant, you're violating our ordinance on keeping the pedestrian zones free?
I'm not saying that. Now, we're piling our negatives and exceptions up so deep. We should use examples.
You said I had it reversed. The point I was trying to make was if we say that we can regulate that, my point was I think that we're going to be in constitutional hot water.
We don't come anywhere near trying to do that. Maybe we should use examples to work it through. If people want to stand outside McDonald's with signs that say, don't eat meat, this doesn't touch them.
Okay, but then the question Commissioner Fritz asked was, then how do we know that three people who are homeless and aren't congregating for the purposes of demonstrating or expressing their First Amendment rights when are approached by a police officer and says, you are in the pedestrian right-of-way right now, they say, oh, wait a second, we're mentally communicating with one another in our protest of the meat in this restaurant here. We don't simply choose to use signs. We have a belief that we can convey our thoughts telepathically. And so we're just sitting here, officer, telepathically protesting to the universe the use of meat in this particular restaurant. How do we regulate that?
Don't. You don't. Now, in an excess of caution, you decided that when you met that, you would try out the number three and see what happened.
Okay.
And it wasn't a practical problem. We haven't seen the scenario you've described. I think at all, and it hasn't been a practical problem. We were going to
just to be clear, we cannot regulate those that are exercising free speech rights in the pedestrian zone.
You can manage them, and you can place reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions on them. It's unclear how far you could go, but I think it's when you're allowing three people to sit rather than two, I think we're going to have no problem because the imposition on the speech event at that point is asking someone, telling them not that they can't assemble, not that they can't speak, but they're going to have to move a few feet away to do it until they reach a critical mass of three.
So
the imposition is relatively minor.
I would, if it's okay with you, Commissioner, I would like you to put this out in writing so that it might seem a little more clear. As I said at the beginning of the presentation, though, this is a very complicated, difficult, complex issue, not only with the competing uses, but with all kinds of rights and responsibilities, and we want to get it right. Commissioner Fish?
Yeah, and I'll be interested in that follow-up discussion because, for example, when we use reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions on certain kinds of labor demonstrations. For example, we encourage our friends that are protesting unfair work practices and have a banner to do so and certain places on the sidewalk. So they're
not everywhere.
They're exercising their free speech in front of the building, but not necessarily in a place that blocks the pedestrian corridor. So I'll be interested in that follow up from you. But I just have a question that goes back to Judge Bushong. I think you and I were in Judge Bushong's courtroom when he issued his decision and gave a lengthy explanation of why he felt that the sidewalk obstruction ordinance was unconstitutional. And he was very clear in his opinion and in the rather unusual proceeding where he gave some free advice to all the parties about his view on this question, that he was not ruling on free speech grounds, and he was not ruling on Eighth Amendment grounds, and he was not ruling on criminalizing homelessness or equal protection grounds.
That's right.
He was ruling on the grounds of preemption.
Correct, yes.
And he felt that...
preemption, just so they...
Preemption, as he described it, he said that the city's ordinance was too broad and was otherwise preempted, superseded by a state law that you needed to use, which was a disorderly conduct law. And he was pretty clear that he thought one of the defects in sidewalk obstruction is it was too broad. Because it went sidewalk to street, it left no places where people could otherwise engage in conduct that might be constitutionally permitted. And so I've been struck in the development of this particular proposal that there has been a concerted effort to create safe places where people could sit and lie and exercise and do whatever they want within those areas. But is there, in creating those zones, is there still a potential preemption problem, or do you believe that's been, is there still a potential problem of preemption, or do you believe by creating the zones and using the regulatory framework that issue is overcome?
Judge Bushong was concerned about potential vagueness, talked a lot about when we had a colloquy with him, talked a lot about that, and urged the city, I think, to do a better job in avoiding the what he saw as a potential overbreadth problem.
Yeah, he just thought from sidewalk to street was too much.
Potential, yes, that we were biting off too much.
From street, from building to sidewalk, excuse me.
We certainly address, with this approach, that concern, and I think have been responsive to he certainly would not characterize what it is giving us direction, but we got the benefit of his thinking, certainly. And I think that this lines up with his thinking in that regard to the breadth of it and his concerns about vagueness. He invalidated it quite narrowly on preemption. And the idea of preemption is that when the state has passed has a criminal statute that addresses certain behavior, a municipality cannot also criminalize it with a higher penalty or allow lesser proof for it. It's the state's business at this point. And saw enough language in the previous version of the code about obstruction. Now, we characterize it as obstructions rather than obstructing, but he saw enough in the code about obstruction that he was willing to say that it really addressed obstructing, which is what the disorderly conduct. Rather than competing uses. And therefore, disorderly conduct deals not with a potential conflict, but with an actual confrontation between two uses. As I said, our very narrow and intense focus in drafting this proposed code is to organize uses.
Okay.
Before.
And I think that's important. And it's also important that we've spent the time thinking about the First Amendment free speech issues, because Oregon's constitution is unique in its First Amendment.
Quite unique, yes.
And we've looked at other potential constitutional issues. I also recall, though, in that exchange with the judge, that he acknowledged that the city had a duty to regulate the sidewalks. The question was using what tools, and that is the challenge in terms of getting the right balance.
Sure. We were, put back on our heels a little bit by the decision, but the city felt that it has this inherent authority to manage the sidewalks and a responsibility to do that. So we got back at it, and this is the result.
So what I'd like to do is to digest the...
Can I follow up on that?
Yeah, of course.
So the prior ordinance was were the violations of that criminal sanctions or violations under the law?
In many previous, a number of versions ago, it was criminal. I think council two versions ago turned it into a non-criminal sanction.
And that remains so in this ordinance?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's a violation?
Yes.
So people have an opportunity to resolve the infraction in a non-criminal way before it, worst case scenario, turns criminal?
Yes.
You had a comment?
I need to clarify what I said and what my question is, because I'd like to hear some more from you about, not now, maybe, are we going to continue this till next week? Are we going to vote next week? Because I would like to digest everything that I heard today and look into some of the questions that were raised. I thank you, everybody, for coming today and for the very, very helpful testimony and for your participation in this process. It's been a good discussion. My concern is not that people living outside will be challenged for sitting in the pedestrian zone and questioned about whether they have a free speech problem or right, whether they're exercising their right. My concern is, why would we allow anybody to sit in the pedestrian zone, regardless of their housing status, if the purpose of it is so that there's a free passage, when we've been very careful in this ordinance to make sure that there is a safe place for each use in every sidewalk downtown? So why would we not just say, you can't exercise your free speech here, but if you can go 4 feet over or 6 feet over or 8 feet over, and you can do it right there?
In particular, what you're saying is you can't exercise your free speech rights by sitting down right here.
Exactly. You can stand up and exercise them wherever you like, or you can sit down and exercise them on this side. Why can't we do that?
We believe that's defensible. You take less risk the less you prohibit.
Okay. Thank you. I'd like to talk to you some more about that.
All right. I want to thank everyone who testified, those that have already left. Very helpful. Appreciate the willingness to engage in some conversation. That's really useful for us, that sort of back and forth. Great testimony. I want to thank Warren and David for work thus far. This will be continued till next Thursday at, do we have a time certain?
I think the 3 o'clock time certain.
3 o'clock next Thursday on the 6th. Thank you all very much. We're adjourned.